I'm going to start out with a question. If I was to ask, what is your opinion of Samson as a godly man? What would be your response? No. What if I told you he was my Bible hero? Would you vote me out? I was in a meeting, and a preacher stood up and said, Samson is one of the greatest examples of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And I murmured under my breath, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the Lord began to show us Samson. So starting tonight, we're going to look at the life of Samson. And if you've got the booklet, if you did not get a booklet, let me know. There are some extras up here. But I want you to turn to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Tonight we're going to look at our first lesson, a misguided life. This was a message that I preached about Samson several years before the Lord took us into study on this. And as I was looking over it, I was reminded, this is a picture of the average Christian. The average Christian. We work with a group of men, have been for several years, and I have been amazed. It's an addiction program. And I would say at least 75% of the men that I deal with will tell me, I grew up in church. I've done this and I've done that and my parents this and yet here we are. And to us, this is a picture of Samson. Let's start out in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to open your word. Father, to share the glorious message of Christ. Father, to help us to see ourselves and help us to see others as you work in the lives of people. Pray that you would give us clearness of thought. May the Spirit speak that needs to be spoken. And we'll praise you for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And I'm just going to stop right there for time's sake. That's a great testimony story right there, isn't it? Boy, that just tells us what a Christian is. But let's go back to the beginning of Samson. Where did his life start? Go back a couple of chapters to chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. It says, verse 1, and I'm going to jump around. And the children of Israel did evil and again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah with the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I want you to notice, first of all, there's a marvelous call. There's a marvelous call. God has a plan. We always think about Jeremiah. He said, before you were ever in your mother's womb, I knew you. God has a plan for our lives. And here the angel appears unto Manoah's wife, and she first of all declares that though you are barren, you're going to bear a son. You're going to have a son. Don't drink wine, strong drink. Don't eat anything unclean, no razor. Listen, he's going to be special. He's going to be special. Isn't that what we think? You know, Jared talked about the new one coming along, and already there's dreams coming along. And so we have big plans. We have big thoughts. And so by the declaration, it says, verse number 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Now, that's a good introduction for a success story. You're going to have a child, and that child is going to grow up in the godliest of sects. He's going to be determined before he ever gets here that he's going to serve God as a Nazarite till the day he dies. Now, that doesn't that give you comfort, parents? Don't you wish our children came with guarantees? Or maybe not, you know. When one of our daughters was born, I asked the doctor, I said, question, where do you take the batteries out? And he said, there's no batteries. We want the confidence to know that our kids are going to be all right. So he's off to a great start. Verse 24, chapter 13. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. We are off to a good start. We're off to a good start. So, as so quickly happens, children grow, Samson grew, but then we're going to fast forward back over to chapter 16. We're going to summarize his life in chapter 16. Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Misplaced affections. I mentioned these guys that I deal with. And they begin to tell me, well, you know, I had this to happen, or I had that to happen, or I wanted to experiment with this, or I got into this. And now, before we push Samson too far under the bus, this isn't just about Samson. This is about us. God has a plan for us. I can tell you right here, I didn't hit the home run according to his plan. And I don't think any of us have. And where does it start? It starts with misplaced affections. Notice, first of all, his affections were misplaced in his company. He saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Now, can I tell you, preview aspect, this is one of three different women that Samson will be with. This is number two. There'll be three. Already, he's off. We're in the middle of a remodel project, and the guys, the carpenters, got lines all drawn out across the yard and everything. And we was talking about it, and every time I go out to the building, I got to step over lines. And he said, well, you know, the room is only this big. And if we stop measuring here, we can only be off just a little bit. But he said, if I go out there, it's going to tell me how much we really are off. And we can pull it back in and straighten it up. Your affections, our little kids, our teenagers, our young adults, your affections are going to determine your path. His affections in his company. He went into the harlot. Then also in his conflict, verse number three, he went into the city of Gaza, and there they waited for him. And let's just put it mildly, let's say he got into a scuffle. Now, that's an interesting scuffle. He tears out the gate of the city. Not just the gate, but the gate and the post and the bars. Not just the door, the gate of the city. And he picks them up and walks off to the top of the hill with them. I think that got some attention. Now, here's question number two. What did Samson look like? Looked like a wild man. Was he a big guy?
No, but he had a big head of hair.
He had a big head of hair. We'll go along with that. Most people you ask, what does Samson look like? And they'll say, you know, he looks like Jared. No. I'm picking on anybody. And I'm just looking. Alan is too big. Brad is too big. Doesn't that kind of knock your picture of Samson off? I mean, since we were kids, all the movies come out, and you know, and all this, you always see pictures of Samson, this big guy. That's not Samson. But his affections, his conflict. If you go back and you find, and we'll see this as we go through the study, Samson was always in a fight with somebody. Paul told Timothy, he said, the pastor, the elder, is not to be a brawler. He's not to be a fighter. Samson just, man, he made trouble. So he was misplaced in his company, in his conflict. Verse 17, Judges 16 says that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And it tells us that she shaves his head, and he gets up, and he says, he shook himself, and he said, I will go at it at other times. And it didn't happen. You know, sometimes we think we have all the things we can do. How many times do we fail to pray? We just kind of tell God in a side, Lord, I got this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm talking about Ethan. Don't know what he wants to do with his life. You know, fixing to turn 70 years old, I'm still trying to figure out what to do with mine. Some folks, man, we got it. I've got it all worked out. The scariest thing to me is when someone comes up and they tell you, I'm a Christian, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to do this, because when I make up my mind, I can do it. And when someone tells me that, the first thing I do is just kind of step back and get out of the way, because it's going to crash. So Samson had a wonderful beginning, a marvelous call. He had his misplaced affections, but his affections led, number three, to a mindless infatuation. A mindless infatuation. Verse 15, chapter 16. This is the third time she has come to him. Actually, this is the fourth time she's come to him. And he said, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. His infatuation, he was so starstruck that first of all, in the doubts, she says, you know, and we're doing this quick speed, do you love me? You know, always pick on Anita and other people. Remember first grade? I love you. Do you love me? Check yes or no when you pass it. So Pam remembers this. I can tell by the look. Listen, she comes to him. Samson, do you really love me? Oh, yes, sweetie. I love you. I love you. She said, then tell me the secret. Nope. Fail. Oh, Samson, you said you love me. Do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Well, then tell me your secret. Another wild tale. The odd thing is, she does this three times. And every time he tells her, this is the secret of my strength, he goes to sleep and she does whatever it is to weaken him. And then the Philistines come upon him and he jumps up and she says, well, you said you loved me. Guys, don't you think if you woke up with your knife your wife over you with a butcher knife, you would have suspicions? She just keeps coming back and all these things are happening. And he is so infatuated that it doesn't make sense. How many times have we gone through things in our life? We're so set on our goal, we are so off kilter that the obvious just doesn't strike us. And so, do you love me? Three times. But then look what she says. She said, these times, you have mocked me. She's trying to have a conversation, and he's just making jokes. He's just telling stories. To him, it's nothing. He's just like so many of us. He's just playing the game of life. Whatever it takes for me to come out ahead, that's what I want. So Samson is full of mindless infatuation, but such as with life, he ends up in a miserable state. When you get into chapter 16, verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He's now in a miserable state. First of all, the Lord's departure. That moment in time that he asked himself, we ask ourselves, how in the world did I get here? I've asked the men at the mission, how many of you, when you were young teenagers, did you plan in your life, you know, what? I'm going to become an addict, and I'm going to end up in a homeless shelter. Do you know not one of them has answered yes? How did I get here? Well, off to a marvelous start. Now, remember the word of God. What did he say? He will be a Nazarite unto the Lord until his death. Just because someone is saved doesn't mean they're going to be, if I can use the term, successful. Yes, preacher, I've been saved. I've been saved, and then look at the lives. But they always come to this same place. The Spirit of the Lord has departed, and he didn't even know it. He did not even realize. He gets up, he shook himself at his other time, and he goes to lay a hold of these guys, and guess what? It did not happen. First thing happened, he lost his eyes. He lost his eyes. Now we'll come back and we'll touch on this a little bit down the road. But he lost his vision. Not eyesight vision, our pathway vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And we can get so sidetracked with our infatuations and our distractions and our own goals and our plans that we no longer have a vision. We no longer look where we're going, what we're accomplishing. But then, thirdly, he had the labors of prison. Verse 21 says, they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. For the rest of his life, Samson is tied to a mill wheel, walking circles in the darkness of blindness, and that's all he does. We have a misconception as Christians. God saved me, he forgave me, and now everything's going to be great. Just because God saves us and he delivers us from whatever does not remove the consequences of the past choices. Now, we as Southern folk, I'm getting this speech a lot. Our next door neighbor moved in. They're from the state of Washington, and he's always talking about you down south folks, how different it is here. Us down south folks think, okay, God saved me, everything's going to be good from now on. No. There's consequences to the choices we make. However big, however small, bad, let me say, there's good consequences as well. But here's a man that was chosen, announced, predicted by God, he's going to be a Nazarite to his death. And now here he is. Pastor's been talking about Mary and the mother of Jesus and what she experienced in those last days. What about Samson's mom? We all want to see our kids, quote, successful. We don't want to see the failures. But yet, you have that promise. We've all heard this verse. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I always ask this question, what's the secret of that verse? And your answer is going to be, because we trained them up in the way they should go, right? Wrong. The answer is because of the faithfulness of God. You've done your best. You've done your best. The hardest things for parents is when our kids grow up and they make their own choices, is learning that it's not our fault. We've done the best we could as godly parents. The choices they make is up to them. And the choices they make determine their circumstances. So here's Samson, this great guy with a great future that has just misplaced his affection. And he just keeps going. You ever heard the saying, practice makes perfect? You ever heard that? Now listen, y'all. At the mission, church, I like people talk back to me. It's not sometimes at me, but to me. Does practice make perfect? No. Practice makes permanent, but it doesn't make perfect. I heard a preacher tell one time he went to this school for technicians, and they said, how many got experience? And him and a couple other guys got experience. So they told the rest of the class, said, okay, said, y'all can progress over here. They're going to get you started on this. You guys that's got experience, we want you to stay in here for just a little bit. We're going to unteach you everything you already know. We got to back up. That slight little misplaced affection has now brought him to the place that he is in a prison. Blind, tormented, miserable. But then, one last point. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He had a merciful end. The merciful end, first of all, was the Lord's remembrance. Prodigal son, the great statement of the prodigal son, and when he came to himself, you know what God does sometimes? He lets us get to the bottom of the well. And when we decide to quit fighting and planning and telling him, we just stop and say, okay, that's it. This is where Samson's at. And he said, Lord, remember me one more time. Now, God's faithfulness. What did the angel tell his mother? He will be a Nazarite unto his death. You go finish out the story, you find out that his hair grew back and God's power came on again. God's faithful to his promises. There's Lord's remembrance. And he said, strengthen me. Only once he was granted his last request. And you know that he destroyed the temple and he killed a great number of the Philistines. He ended up, we'll say, on target. But instead of taking that path that God had planned as we see it, okay, remember that, as we see it. There's curves in your path that you did not see coming. And if you had seen them coming, you would have not signed up for the task. But the goal line is still reached. He just went the long way around. We went to Arizona one time, and we were going to stay right outside of Flagstaff. Well, we went about 100 and some miles up the road to the next town, which had a post office, a gas station, and a motel, and a restaurant. That was the entire town. 4 buildings on both sides of the road. So we started back. And I said, I hate to drive all the way back into Flagstaff because we got to come out of Flagstaff going out the other way. So I stopped at this ranger station. I said, is there a shorter way to get over here without going to Flagstaff? He said, there's a road right down there called Schultz Mountain Pass. He said, what are you driving? I said, a Dodge Shadow. He said, I think you can do it. That shortcut took us 2.5 hours to go about 20 miles running in first gear and driving all over the road like this. You know, that's what we do in life. Lord, there's got to be a better way. Oh, we end up where we were headed. But the journey was not what you anticipated. Samson, for the average Christian, is a totally misguided life. In our first assumption, Samson missed everything that God had called for him. And when you read about Samson, you're disappointed. I was disappointed in Samson for years. Why would God put somebody like this in the Bible? But you know what? Every one of us are like this in the Bible. But as we'll see in the next few weeks, God will work. I've got just a couple of minutes. If you got the notes, the second lesson is a ministering spirit. And I'm going to just give these. I'm not going to go in depth on these. I want you to just ponder these, because there's 5 times that the Spirit of God is mentioned in the life of Samson. The first one was when he was born, Judges 13:25. The second time was when he fought the lion, Judges 14:5-6. His betrayal by friends, by the ladies, Judges 14:9, his bands in chapter 16, or the chapter 15, again where he's betrayed by the Jews, and then chapter 16, verse 20, the Spirit of God came on him. And we know the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not come in and take residence. The Holy Spirit moved upon someone, they accomplished the task, and then the Spirit moved away. Every time Samson was in a struggle, in a battle, the Spirit of God came and helped him. And that's the same thing with us. And you can go through there. The list is there, how the Spirit worked with Jesus and how he works with us. But God knows where we're at. One of my favorite verses, and I just shared it with someone the other day. We were talking. The Psalm says, "And the Lord knoweth that we are but dust." He knows how frail we are. He knows how easily we get distracted. We get very, and every time we need him, he's always there. And so you can kind of look over that one if you want to. Then Lord willing, next week we'll pick up. We're going to start in chapter 13 at the announcement of his birth. And we're going to go all the way through the life of Samson. And I want to show you what made Samson my Bible hero. Let's bow in prayer.